Well, there is a new unstoppable movement that's fixing almost everything wrong with America's healthcare. It's called direct care, and by sidestepping entrenched extractive middles, employers and consumers alike can eliminate all the built-in confusion, gaming, all the tyranny. Because direct care pays for itself, so the members and white coats are doubling every 3 years. Welcome to the new healthcare economy, where everyone wins. Redirect Health. I chose Redirect Health as our sponsor for a few reasons. I'm a happy client 5 years now, and our most downloaded shows by far are Redirect Health shows. No one has a health plan for small employers more focused on reducing healthcare costs than Redirect Health. They have over 3,000 Google 5-star ratings and growing daily, and they average 4.6 stars overall. So stay tuned for your free report at the end of this show. Business Owner's Guide to Slashing Healthcare Premiums. get.redirecthealth.com/Ron. And now to the show. You'll remember from our first visit with our guest today that this is a story of an introvert who graduates top of her medical school class with a Stanford residency and is meticulous documenting her 99% success rate with COVID patients at BreatheMD, using a novel cocktail treatment for thousands of her patients in a pandemic. And if you're under a rock, she has, like hundreds of other doctors and scientists, been slammed and shamed for voicing its success versus a vaccine. What's important is what enabled her important voice. She takes cash only, not insurance, at her ENT practice in Houston, BreatheMD. Cash-only doctors, excluding plastic surgery, maybe represents 1% or 2% of the million white coats out there. So this story really highlights DPC and direct pay cash as a movement that allows emerging heroines like our guest today. And today I'm going to read from her Substack to give you the timeline of what happened to her. So in December 11th, 2020, Pfizer biotech COVID shot became available. And on March 5th, the FDA begins its attack on ivermectin, adding a page that says it's not meant for anything other than animals. This page is still on the website today, as to my best of my knowledge. March 15th, 2021, so we're talking 3 years ago, frustrated because only 10% of Americans have received both shots, Biden doesn't just announce a $1.5 billion PR campaign to convince every American to get the shot, but 10 days later, he ups the ante to $10 billion, which would be spent coercing the communities of color to get the shots. The campaign, rather than simple public awareness, really starts funding an orchestrated attack against people like our guest. Influencers are incentivized and rewarded with lots of money, our tax dollars, to censor, silence, and attack. A few weeks later, Houston Methodist Hospital announces it's going to become the first major employer and hospital in the country to mandate on the same day these vaccines. HHS on the same day announces the launch of a vaccine propaganda machine, COVID-19 Community Corps. At this point, only half Americans have had one shot. Now we're talking summer of 2021. COVID cases surge for the third time, but of course now the virus is much milder, although it's more virulent, so it's less deadly. August 21, into summer, COVID cases are surging and interest in the shots waning, and the government now starts turning up the volume on their machine. On August 21st, the FDA and the media launch a full-scale PR campaign to deceive the public that ivermectin is solely used to treat horses. A flurry of mandates starts happening at big companies, and that goes on over the next several weeks. And at this point now, 70% have had one shot. August 23rd, a Pfizer shot gets full FDA approval. August 24th, the second flurry of big companies. Pentagon announces the 26th. Biden announces everybody over 100 employees has to have the shot on September 9th. And then a few days later, HHS takes over distribution of monoclonal antibodies. And whereas the good doctor guest today was once able to get unlimited monoclonal antibodies, no longer can she get them to treat her patients. November 4th, CMS announces healthcare worker mandates. November 7th, message is tweeted out 25 times by our guest, vaccine mandates are wrong, with a screenshot of patient testimonials. On November 12th, Houston Methodist tells a reporter her privileges are suspended based on comments she's made on social media. The story goes global, and in fact, she has over 4.5 million YouTube hits today. The FDA, a week later, sends a letter to the Federation of State and Medical Boards and National Association of Boards of Pharmacy warning against the use of ivermectin. December 14th, Houston Methodist reports her to a data bank that gets her banned on an open forum for otolaryngology, her specialty. A week later, she's received a letter from the Texas Medical Board. And a few months later, she's banned from TikTok, Twitter. This all goes on, and eventually turns into an FDA lawsuit, because FDA is not in the business of saying ivermectin is for animals when it's in the World Health Organization top 400 most essential drugs for humans. And the courts turn it down at first, then the appeals turn it up again. And now we find ourselves sitting here with Dr. Mary Talley Bowden. She is a hero to many for what she has done with this fight, not only with the Texas Medical Board, because she was offered a settlement and turned it down because they said she'd have to admit she was doing wrong, but with the FDA, she went to the top of the mountain and fought and won. We're going to hear about that. And with Houston Methodist, that didn't turn out so well. Didn't turn out bad, but it didn't turn out so well. So, Mary Talley Bowden, welcome to our show.
Thanks for having me, Ron.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about what's going on. I mean, it's not very funny, but let's talk about first the victory with FDA. That's sort of recent news in the last few weeks. So we have a good outcome there, don't we?
Yes. So no one really thought we would win this case. It's exceedingly hard to sue the government and win. And we had to overcome two major challenges. The initial one was over sovereign immunity, which basically says as long as the government is acting the way it's designed, has certain criteria that it has to meet. And if he's meeting those criteria, you can't sue them. So the case was initially dismissed based on that concept. And then we appealed and we won the appeal, which gave us the right to keep fighting, but it went back to the district court. And then a case was challenged again by the FDA saying that we don't have standing, meaning that, okay, well, the FDA did these things, but it really didn't impact me or the other plaintiffs. And of the three plaintiffs, the judge decided that I was allowed to go forward, which I don't think that the FDA expected that. So after that happened, then they sent us a settlement offer, and we decided that the terms of that offer were acceptable, and here we are.
Okay, and the FDA has backed down on the fact that they can no longer get in the middle of the doctor-patient relationship, right?
Yes and no. I mean, they were strongly rebuked during the appeal hearing. The message went viral. The judge basically really pounded that message home, and their lawyer had to admit that the FDA has no right to interfere in the off-label prescribing habits of doctors. Now, publicly, after the settlement, they are being pretty hard-headed and not admitting that they did anything wrong. But they do have to take down their most popular tweet in FDA history that had over 24 million views the first week. So the fact that they're taking these actions is basically an admission of guilt.
Is this the come on y'all tweet that had the cow on it?
Yes, that was the most famous one. There were others. And so they have to take all of the social media posts regarding ivermectin and COVID. They also have to take down their web page on their website about not taking ivermectin for COVID.
Okay, well, that is a win then. Okay, let's go to the Methodist Hospital. That didn't have a great outcome. What happened there?
Well, it's complicated, but they told this reporter that they were suspending my privileges. Now, when you look at what's going on behind the scenes, it doesn't look like they actually were technically allowed to suspend my privileges, because it's all over a patient safety issue, which that wasn't the issue. It was over comments I made on social media, and I was not employed by them. I had very loose ties. I actually never stepped foot in that hospital. I just had those privileges as a backup. So we're working all that out, but I sued them for defamation, but that suit was dismissed, but it's on appeal, and I just haven't heard back yet on how the judges are going to rule.
Okay. And it wasn't just you. There were other doctors that were embarrassed. You were just the most visible one because you fought back.
You mean at Methodist?
Yes.
Well, I don't know of any others that were on social media. And basically, I said on one day, I tweeted out the same message 25 times. I said, vaccine mandates are wrong. And then I put a patient testimonial with each tweet. And that's what made them take action. 5 days later, I received a text message from a reporter saying, Houston Methodist has said they're suspending your privileges for comments you're making on social media. That's how I found out. But I'm not, you know, I think a lot, I don't know of any other doctors at Methodist that have publicly come out. I do know some that quit over the mandates.
Yeah. I mean, Methodist is probably the most prestigious hospital in Houston. They're well respected, but they went after you specifically because you were a very high profile, I guess, whack-a-mole that they wanted to knock down and send a message to the doctors too.
I wasn't high profile until they made me high profile. I think they were using me as an example to silence other doctors. And I think it worked because I was, you know, I have a solo practice, very quiet. I put those tweets out there, but I honestly didn't think they'd get much notice. I didn't have very many followers at the time, but they made me high profile. And I think it was to silence other doctors.
Yeah, well, we're going to be talking about the deplatforming and the silencing in a minute. You currently have over 300,000 Twitter followers, which is now called X. As I said, you have 4.5 million views on YouTube. So people have noticed you, clearly. And let's now talk about the Texas Medical Board. I call it the sham trial, but, you know, you can call it whatever we want. But they really had some very tight restrictions on how you're going to communicate with them in the four-hour testimony, right?
Well, it's 5 days. It's not going to be 4 hours. I already had they call it the informal settlement conference, which is behind closed doors. They have an anonymous expert witness that submits their opinion. And they offered to make this all go away as long as I just paid them $5,000 and did a bunch of CME and retook the jurisprudence exam and then leaving a mark on my record. So I just refused that. And they have offered to settle again. They did a 4-hour deposition. And during that, in the halfway through the deposition, they offered to settle. And I said, no, because I want, you know, I'm not settling until I get all the charges dismissed. And so now it just goes forward to, you know, it's a somewhat of a kangaroo court because the judge is their judge. So, you know, I'm not super optimistic that it's going to be successful, but the facts are there. They just actually have to read them and process them.
Well, we know that medical boards are in the job of drumming out, fining, and taking their license away from doctors who are drunks and alcohol and drug addicts and, you know, sex perverts. They don't go after people that are of good reputation who are doing what you're doing, which is basically trying to save lives in a novel way. This is really sort of a new tack for medical boards. And it's not just happening in Texas. It's happening across the country, right?
Right. Well, you know, the FDA sent a letter to the FSMB, which is the Federation of State Medical Boards. This is like the central core of the medical board system. And that letter warned them about ivermectin and COVID. And that's when all the medical board complaints were sent out. So I got my notice about 10 days after that letter. Simone Gold got a notice. I'm trying to gather all the people that got noticed after the FDA's letter, but there was definitely it was very timely. And it's more of a, you know, an attack and a, you know, based on the ivermectin. And if you get to dive deeper, basically against, you know, for the vaccine. So,
yeah. Do you know who now that it was anonymous originally, do you know now who turned in complaints against you?
Oh yeah. No, I have all that. I know in Methodist, I was on this Facebook group, Houston Women's Physicians, and they just started going after me. And I'm almost positive. I mean, I know the person that complained to Methodist because it's all in the records with the medical board hearing. I'm pretty sure she was part of that group that was all up in arms against me.
And she's still complaining loudly on social media too.
Probably. I don't go on Facebook anymore, and they kicked me out of that group, so I'm not sure, but I'm sure she wouldn't surprise me.
Do we have any idea how many medical boards have stripped doctors or fined them for doing the right thing?
I don't know, but I do know that in Texas, there have been about 2,000 complaints submitted to the medical board regarding COVID issues, and about 17% of those went forward to an informal settlement conference. But those numbers are a little bit dated, and I'm not sure how many actually resulted in punishments. I think a lot of doctors are willing to just, you know, go to the settlement conference, accept the terms, and do, you know, take a small fine or do some CME and move on, you know, under the radar. But
is there any precedent for this, Mary? I mean, has anything like this even remotely happened before?
With the medical board?
Yeah, these kind of ad hominem attacks.
Not to my knowledge. I mean, and the unfortunate thing is, you know, anybody can make a complaint. And the complaints I'm dealing with and other doctors have dealt with, the majority of them are not from the patients. They're from, you know, third parties. And the patient's not harmed. There's been no harm to the patient. So And it's a gigantic waste of time, money, just a cloud of stress as a doctor. I can't apply for privileges anywhere until I get this sorted out. It's unfortunate. And in Texas, too, you wouldn't think it would happen in Texas.
Exactly. So what is the climate for doctors in Texas today? Is this largely blown over and you're sort of the last of the Mohicans?
Center in the world in Houston. The Texas Medical Center, I believe, has 61 hospitals. And we have the largest children's hospital in the world. We have the largest cancer hospital in the world. And I call it the medical mafia. And Houston Methodist is the mafia boss. And I think they control things in Austin pretty significantly. You also look at the economy of Texas, and it's dominated by healthcare. And the number one source of jobs is in healthcare. We have all these people moving from California, New York. The number one job they take is healthcare. So I've argued that healthcare is really turning Texas blue. And Governor Abbott, you know, I have him on video. Well, not him, but I have somebody from Methodist on video saying that Governor Abbott told them to get a shot in every arm. I don't think he's really thinking outside the box. I think he's pretty with the medical establishment.
Well, their influence in lobbying is legendary. They have $700 million in FEC reported money and $700 million dark money easily. They outnumber the next four largest by far in spending for lobbying, which is elections. Good luck getting any politician to go against the medical mafia. So let's talk about American lives. Do you think it's a fair statement to say that lives have been lost demonizing ivermectin and the cocktail treating the COVID?
Oh, yes, most definitely. I was on a Zoom call earlier this week with widows of people that died in the hospital from not getting ivermectin. And it's heartbreaking. I mean, these people were begging the doctors, just let my spouse try this medication, and denied. People tried suing. And there's two lawyers, Ralph Lorigo and Beth Parlato, who did 189 of these cases where spouses were trying to get their loved ones ivermectin in the hospital. And they won about half of them. And the ones where they won, the majority, I can't remember the exact number, but it was over 90%. Those patients survived. And when they lost, those patients did not survive. Also, the outcome of those trials was highly correlated with the political party of the judge. So when they had a Republican judge, they were much more likely to win. And when they had a Democrat judge, they were much more likely to lose. It's very sad.
And we're going to get to the tearing of the fabric in a minute here. But you use this cocktail drugs to treat vaccine injury, yes?
Yes.
Okay. And so you had a 99%+ success rate preventing COVID from becoming deadly with your patients, but then now you're using it to treat certainly hundreds, if not thousands, of patients for those that have been injured by this RNA vaccine.
Yes. And yeah, I've seen some great results with ivermectin, particularly with rashes. I've seen some patients come in with just these bizarre rashes that don't respond to steroids, don't respond to antihistamines, don't respond to the typical things. They'll respond to ivermectin, which is very confirming about the efficacy, right? You don't have a lot of lab work that can confirm it. But when you see a rash, a stubborn rash disappear with ivermectin, it's pretty rewarding. But I will say that the vaccine injured, they get better, but these problems that I'm seeing tend to stay with them. I don't see the strokes and myocarditis. I see more of the chronic, low-grade, but certainly handicapping issues like POTS, where the blood pressure goes up and down for no reason. I see unexplained pain that can be quite severe. I see tremors, neurological issues. I see the rashes, like I said. I see a lot of sort of respiratory, you know, not being able to get breaths, and poor exercise tolerance. And they patients do get better with ivermectin, but it's not a cure-all for most of them. And it's yeah, they usually will get the million-dollar workup by other doctors and then sent on their way, which is just, it's very sad. I mean, I looked at my new patient appointments 2 years after the rollout of these shots. 7% of my new patient appointments were for patients with chronic debilitating health problems following these shots. That's unprecedented. Like if you had an antibiotic and you were seeing that kind of outcome with an antibiotic, you would immediately stop the antibiotic. The government would pull it off the market. It's truly amazing that this has been allowed to go on.
And this is young, healthy patients as well as older, less healthy patients, right?
Oh, yes. Yes, definitely. I've seen some people in their 20s.
And it's unprecedented. You've ever seen people with these kinds of symptoms before, yeah?
Exactly. No, it's... And they tend to all have very similar clinical pictures.
I know you're not in the business of tracking the numbers, but neither is the federal government tracking these vaccine injuries, to everybody's astonishment. Do you have any sense of roughly how many people are vaccine injured today?
Oh, gosh. You know, I need to look at that. The open VAERS gives you an idea, right? But that, even that is an underestimate. But I think what's amazing is every patient I talk to, if they're not vaccine injured, they know somebody that is, which, I mean, I don't know if you have that same situation, but it's like we all know somebody that either suddenly died or had, you know, was previously healthy and suddenly had a stroke, or, you know, very healthy and now developed this just horrible metastatic stage 4 cancer. We all know people.
And Yes. And know people have been deplatformed. We're going to talk about that. Like I said, I want to do a lightning round with you before we get into the next question here. But before we do, you said the last visit that your dad said that they stepped on the wrong hornet with you, but you're actually in the company of sort of a dream team of hornets now fighting this thing, aren't you?
Yeah. No, it's been nice to connect with like-minded doctors.
But they're top of their profession.
Yes.
Okay. So now we're going to do a lightning round, kind of a yes or no. You can go into comments if you want, but I believe that there is a wealth transfer during lockdowns that makes this potentially the greatest global heist of all time. Would you agree or disagree, or no opinion?
Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of money involved in this, and follow the money.
I believe this is the greatest murder mystery in the history of the world.
Well, it's not a mystery, but yes.
Okay. And the greatest con job with the greatest disinformation and malinformation campaign of all time.
Yes, definitely.
Business winners and losers were picked, destroying livelihoods of small enterprise versus large corporations.
Exactly, yes.
And the greatest smear campaign of scientists and doctors in the history of the world.
Most definitely.
Okay. And you've also, and I have too, suffered great personal relationships that have been smashed to the bits because of the truths that we hold. And have any of those reconciled in any way? Mine have not.
No, I actually sent, so my oldest two friends that I've known since I was probably 5 years old turned against me. And this was, it was August of 2021 when we last spoke. And the last thing they said, one of them said to me, they called me a really, I can't even repeat it, but they called me a name that I can't repeat. And so I sent them a text yesterday. I said, I repeated the name. I said, so-and-so and so-and-so just won her lawsuit against the FDA. And I included a link to the article from Newsweek and CNN, and I got crickets, nothing.
Yeah. Well, I'm sad for you. I'm sad for me too, but it's not just us. There are millions of us. This is a sort of a big lightning round final question, but the administration seems to have ripped the fabric of trust, not only in institutions, but in families and friends. Would you agree with that, that the administration centrally at fault for this?
Yes. Well, and I think that's what, you know, China was very clever. They divided our country. Like if this had been any other kind of outside attack, it would have brought our country together. Some, you know, like 9/11 brought us together. This divided us.
Yeah. And countries have been brought into the orbit of China, like Sri Lanka. They built a port there and a stadium and highways, really to accommodate their Navy. So they'd have a warm water port where they need one desperately. And Sri Lanka, when travel went away, their economy went away. And now they are beholden in the China orbit, whether we like it or not, right off the coast of India. So this panic pandemic had a sort of global implications for vaccines, for poverty setbacks, and for people putting countries in the orbit of China that we don't want. So this is exactly what our enemies would want, isn't it?
Yes, it's a war without bullets, but a very damaging war.
All right, so let's talk about like the root cause, the money, follow the money, you said. Vaccines were the greatest blockbuster, beating Humira, number one Humira for a long, long time, by double the first year they came out. What share does the CDC or HHS have in these vaccines where they were so adamant about pushing this new blockbuster? Why did the federal government get so hard behind this financial gain that was so big?
That's a good question. I mean, I think it's purposely complicated. There's a revolving door between FDA and big pharma, and you know they hop around from one institution to the next. So, I believe the government has some finance. They have patents as well, and they have some financial kickbacks from these vaccines.
Yeah, we just don't know, I guess, is the right answer. Well, is there anything we didn't cover today in our catch up session with you after 18 months?
No, that seems to have it all down.
Okay. Well, thank you again for giving us the update. I really admire you, as I've told you, and I'm sure I speak for millions of others. And keep up the good fight, and we'll check in again in another 18 months when you've won everything, hopefully.
I hope so. Thank you so much.
Bye-bye now. I have been a happy customer of Redirect Health since before I started the show, guys, and I know firsthand the integrity and laser focus on us of the members of its two founders, Dave Berg and Dr. Janice Johnson. What do I get from me and my team? Well, I have 24/7 access to my healthcare team for any reason, and they have all my medical records right at their fingertips at all times. So no more filling out those stupid forms in clinics. And if I need a refill, if I got a rash, I've hurt my back, I need an annual physical, Redirect Health takes it from there. I just tell them on my app what I need. We get free primary care visits and chiropractic and labs and patient assistance with meds, which means you can get free meds for a lot of your employees, probably most of them actually, and hospitalization with a $2,000 deductible. All of that is in my plan for about half what I used to pay in a traditional high deductible plan. But I have zero deductibles, zero copays, except for that $2,000. So I go to get my care with my own doctor, or they'll find one for me. You keep your doctor with this plan, and I pay nothing there at the clinic after. It's super clean. What a friction-free plan should look like, right? And it's much less chance of any surprise bills, and Redirect totally handles all the hassles when my doctor's billing department in the hospital messes up, and they mess up 80% of the time. Well, I'm treated like a person, not a number at Redirect. So I'll say it on this show a million times and on my LinkedIn post dozens of times, I use Redirect Health. If you want to get the business owner's guide to slashing healthcare premiums, go to get.redirecthealth.com/Ron. get.redirecthealth.com/Ron. Thanks for listening. You can advance our movement by subscribing and kindly take a minute and leave a review. Each is a win for this show. Until next episode.